Welcome to the Edu All-Stars Podcast.
Hey guys, welcome to the 37th episode of Edu All-Stars. We would like to thank everyone for the great response that we've had so far and all the reviews left on iTunes. We'd like to encourage you that as you watch or listen, that if you share out tweets of things that you hear, to include the hashtag Edu All-Stars so we can follow along with the conversation. And we'd like to remind all of our viewers that you can also catch all of our previous shows and episodes on eduallstars.com or iTunes. My name is Todd Nesloni. I'm one of the co-hosts tonight. You can find me on Twitter at TechNinjaTodd.
And my name is Chris Kessler. You can find me on Twitter at IamKessler.
My name is Keegan Wade. You can find me on Twitter at NageeK14, N-A-G-E-E-K.
And we are very excited for our special guest tonight. We have Kyle Pace, who is an instructional technology specialist for a K-12 school district near Kansas City, Missouri. Thanks, Kyle, for being with us tonight.
Yeah, thanks, Todd. I'm looking forward to it. Good to hang out with you guys for a while.
Do you want to go ahead and share, it's easy, but do you want to go ahead and share your Twitter handle with everybody?
Sure, at Kyle Pace, all pretty cut and dry. So
there we go.
Yep.
Well, you know, one of the first kind of questions that we always like to start about with our guests is just learning a little bit more how they ended up in the field of education. So what was your path to ending up in education?
It's because of a couple different people, how I ended up in education. Number one, my mom. She is a retired middle school English teacher, so give it up for the middle school teachers because they're awesome people. They're a special breed of teachers. Middle school teachers and kindergarten teachers, they're like a special breed of people to teach both of those areas. So
they're especially nuts is what they are.
Yeah, more or less. More or less. So my mom was a big inspiration to me to become a teacher. So I was around education my whole life. Just got to observe her being a phenomenal educator. So that was a big one. My other credit to jumping into education, I would have to give to my fifth grade teacher, Mrs. Hodson. She was she was and continues to be one of the most influential people in my life, professionally and personally as well. She's just an outstanding human being, and so I had her for fifth grade, and then what was funny is I got to do my student teaching with her as well. So that was pretty awesome, and I continue to learn a lot from her. She's a great, great lady.
So what did you start teaching when you started?
Elementary school. I taught third grade, and I taught fourth grade. So I was an elementary school teacher. That was my initial education degree.
Were you self-contained?
I was.
And when did you move? Yeah, when did you decide to move out of the classroom into the role that you're in now, that instructional technology role?
So I got kind of a little bit of backstory. I remember when my mom was teaching, and I went to the same middle school where my mom taught at. So that was double. There was all kinds of extra awkwardness there, having to go to the same middle school that your mom taught at. Yeah. But I remember the first time teachers got computers in their classroom when I was when my mom was still teaching, and it was an Apple IIe was the old computer. I still have pictures of that thing because that's kind of what got me started on loving to work with other teachers and teach teachers about how to use technology, because in the summertime, my mom got to bring that computer home, and so in the summertime, it became my computer, and so I completely taught myself how to use this old Mac computer, learned the ins and outs of it, and what happened was that other teachers in the school started coming and asking me for help with how to use their computer, and so and I just kind of kept going. That actually kept going all through high school. I would get called by my mom's other teacher friends and asking me to come over to their house and teach them how to do this and that and have all these questions. And so I knew early on that I really enjoyed teaching adults too. So I got my master's in ed tech in 2004, which that feels like forever ago, and and then I've been in the position I'm in as an instructional technology specialist. I've been in that position for the last 10 years. So,
awesome.
As soon as I got that degree, that position presented itself, and on the road with that ever since. So, yeah, it's been a good time.
Yeah, that's cool. I know that you're also a Google certified teacher, and
yep.
When did you decide that, and what does that even mean?
So, Google certified teacher, I became a Google certified teacher in 2011. So, you know, every couple times, maybe three times a year, Google has the Google Teacher Academy. And if you go to google.com/edu, that's where they always announce when the next one's going to be, is there on their education site. And every time they have one, there's an application process. And every time they have one, it's at a different Google office somewhere in the world. So you have a pretty traditional type of application that you have to fill out, pretty standard questions about your philosophy of teaching and learning, and just giving them a lot of information about yourself. But then you also have to produce a one-minute video as part of that application process. That was the most stressful part about it for me, was making a video that can only be 60 seconds long, and you have to publish it to YouTube, and they give you some parameters about the topics, you know, some pretty broad topics that can fall under. And so, but other than that, you're left to your creative freedom to make the video whatever you want to make of it, as long as it's not 61 seconds. It has to be 60 seconds. So, and they pick around 50-ish people every time. So, mine was in Seattle. That's where I got to go in 2011. So it was, cool. It was a great, great learning experience. And, you know, just to be, as any of the other Google certified teachers, you know, I'm sure will attest to, it's just a really cool experience getting to be in a Google office. And it's just, it's an environment that breathes creativity and collaboration just everywhere you look. So it was a lot of fun, and it was, a couple pretty intense days of learning too. So,
I'm so jealous. I've always wanted to do that and go to the Google headquarters and everything.
Yeah, do it.
And we had Amy on over Christmas, and she talked a little bit more in depth about that. So if you're listening and you want to learn more about that, you can go back to that episode, which is probably 32, maybe, you think, Todd? Something like
that? Yeah, 30, 32. Yeah,
the one with Fried Technology, and she talks a little bit about that process and what it looks like, and how, you know, what her experiences were with that as well. So
yeah, really, really great. And then you just get connected to, I mean, even after the fact, even after, you're just connected to this, it's just an explosion of people in your PLN all of a sudden, because it's just, all, you know, you're connected to all those other people that you can tap into and collaborate with, and it's ongoing. It never stops, so...
My friend Evan Schur, who teaches overseas, he was talking about how when he went to the Google Academy, that was the thing that probably stuck out the most to him, was that you have this incredible network now of these amazing educators doing these great things with Google that you've built just by going to the Academy. And he said that was probably one of the best things about the Academy.
Yep, Evan's a great guy. He and I chat from time to time. Actually, I think I'm kind of the one that gave him a pretty good nudge to make that to apply. So he loved getting to do that. So it was a lot of fun for him.
Well, you're known as a Google guru in a lot of circles with a lot of people. What influence do you see kind of Google having on our educational landscape?
Oh my gosh. You know, as many different Google tools that are out there, you know, name your favorite one. It doesn't matter really which one you name. Everybody's got their favorite, and there's a multitude of them. And then, you know, so Google Apps, and then you've got the Chromebooks and everything that just kind of exploded over the last 2 or 3 years. The one thing I always say about Google's tools that they offer for education is they do a really, really great job at getting out of the way. And I think, you know, it really puts the focus on the learning. because you're not, you don't have to spend a ton of time, you know, with your students or for yourself really learning how to use it. I mean, it just, everything works so intuitively and it all mixes together so well. And then you put the Chromebooks in on top of that and just have, you know, you have all of these great tools, and then they give you all these other tools on top of it that just constantly are connecting you and helping you collaborate and learn from other people. And I think that's just, I think that's a huge testament to Google is just how focused they are and how much they've done for education, just to connect people. And, you know, just like I think of like the one of the latest things, the connected classroom thing that they just came out with. I think it's connectedclassroom.org, where they're working to, you know, help put all of these different places all around the world into classrooms, let kids connect to museums and all different kinds of institutions that they ordinarily wouldn't get to experience face to face, and they get to do it all through a Hangout, which is I think is outstanding. And those are the kinds of experiences I think kids need to have more of. You know, collaborating and connecting with each other is a great way to start too, but it's really that ability to connect and collaborate with anybody anywhere in the world. I just think they're doing a really top-notch job of making that possible for teachers and kids.
Yeah, I think that's a great answer. They really do a great job of just getting out of the way. They don't necessarily steer you towards their tools and exactly where they want you to go, but rather to making those connections. I think you're just spot on with that.
Yep.
So is there like a tech tool out there that you couldn't live without? A teacher comes to you and says, like, what's something cool I need to be trying in my class, and you're just kind of, you're really hot on right now that you want teachers working with, maybe in your district or in your schools?
Oh, my gosh. Google related or just in general?
No, it doesn't matter. Yeah.
Oh, man. I wish I had known this ahead of time. Then I could have. That's such a hard. That's so hard, yeah, just to pick one.
You don't have to pick one. You don't have to pick just one.
You know, I will. I'm gonna give a shout out to a local ed tech company here in Kansas City that I've connected with recently. They're pretty new. They haven't been on the scene too long, but I'm gonna give them some love. It's a company called Doozly, DEWSLY. Doozly.com, and you can find them on Twitter at Doozly. Excellent, excellent team of folks that have, they're creating a really great communications platform for teachers and for schools and for districts to use, just to connect everybody and connect people to the community and from the community into the school and into the school district as well. And it's just a really nice platform, a really clean, well-designed platform. Like I said, they're really new, and you know, I'm just you know, just giving them a shout out more or less, because I think what they're doing is really great, and they're just beginning. So it's exciting to see it's exciting to see where they're going to go and to think about where they're going to go. And so, yeah, I definitely would encourage you guys, just check them out and give them a look. And you know, they've got a lot of good pieces wrapped into one nice little package. So that would be one that I'd recommend. And then, man, the other one I just couldn't, I know, you know, this is, the other one I just couldn't live without, it would have to be Google Docs. I know that's probably, you know, that's such an easy answer, I know. But,
I agree completely.
You know, yeah, I mean, I do everything in there. If, you know, I just, yeah. You know, professionally, personally, between work and home and everywhere, I mean, that's, my life is there. And so that's just how easy it is for it to work and have access to your stuff no matter where you are. And yeah, I couldn't function without those productivity tools. So
yeah, my class doesn't happen without Google Docs, or it doesn't happen as well, for sure, for
yeah.
certain. So
yeah.
And for those listening, if you're out on the road or whatever, we'll put a link to Doozly.com in the show notes, so you can just go to eduallstars.com and find this show, and we'll put the link out there.
Cool. Is there a book that you're currently reading that you would recommend for either a teacher or students or just anyone?
I'm glancing over here, all my books on my shelf. I have them right here. You know, one I just got Eric Schoeninger's book.
So
Digital
good.
Leadership. Cool. That just literally came today. I got that, so I'm looking forward for sure diving into that. There's another book that I love, and it's called, have you guys heard of a book called The Multiplier Effect?
Mm-hmm. I've heard of it, yep.
Yep, and originally, actually, the first book was written not focused at schools at all, but the business world, but then they wrote a version specifically for schools, and if you haven't checked that book out, I think it's a great book for any educational leader to read or anyone interested in pursuing a leadership role in education, because it's all about the multiplier effect is all about being a multiplier and not a diminisher. And it's all about multiplying the genius around you, not, you know, recognizing, yes, you may be the official leader by title, but recognizing that you're not going to always be the one with the greatest ideas. Kind of that strength from within concept where we need right. to tap into our own folks more often. And I think that's something we don't do enough of in school is tap into our own people. And, you know, we've got those, especially when it comes like something with technology, we've got those folks in our schools that are always willing to jump in and dive in, you know, head first and try anything. And they're willing to, and they're willing to fail at it and make it better. And then we need to count on those people more to do that, and then to share with the other people, you know, share with everybody else in our schools to make learning with technology better. So that's a great book too.
Cool.
Gosh, yeah. You guys make it hard to pick. Just give one answer to these questions here. So I could keep going. I got Adam Bellows and Steve Dembo's Untangling the Web sitting right here. Another favorite. I'm just yanking books off the shelf. I feel like a librarian. the Third Teacher. Have you guys heard of that one? That's a great book. That one's all about school design. You know, how the physical spaces and learning spaces and physical design of a school, how that can be, that's the Third Teacher. So I don't know. I'll stop because I could just keep yanking books off my shelf over here. So I won't do that.
Well, anymore. You've just added two more to my reading list. So thank you.
Yeah, you bet.
Yeah. So you're also what we consider a connected educator, someone who likes to connect via social media. Why did you decide to connect online, and kind of what was your journey into doing that?
Yeah, so I remember I heard about this thing called Twitter back in like 2007, and I remember hearing about it first listening to David Warlick speak back. You know, he was here in town doing a workshop that I attended, and he talked about this thing called Twitter. And then I totally remember it just kind of going in one ear and out the other. I didn't give it a lot more thought right away. But then about 6 months to a year later, I signed up and I joined in and started hearing more about it. I probably came across some articles, and then I remember hearing Tony Vincent talk about it. He was I saw him present at a conference, and he talked about it too. And so it kind of just was this really big snowball effect for me, how I got involved in that space, because, you know, I signed up, I created my account, I looked at, I thought, well, if David Warlick and Tony Vincent are using it, I know that, you know, I know it's got to be good. And so I looked at who those guys, you know, it's kind of, you look at who they're following and who those people are following and so on. And I just started finding all these outstanding people, and I'm like, it was mostly presenters and authors, I think, is who I, you know, and so I started finding all these people and seeing the stuff that they're sharing, and then I just started sharing stuff, and I thought, because my job's focused on educational technology and great resources and ideas around educational technology, and so I would just start sharing things that I'm finding, and you know, just, hey, check out this great example of this, or wow, this is a really cool teacher for cool resource for social studies teachers, and check this out. And so, because I was already doing that within my network of my team that I'm on in my school district. We were already doing a lot of that. We had a resource website that we had already created for, you know, we really designed it for teachers in our district, a big website of curricular resources that for our teachers in our district could use. And then more people, you know, we saw more people outside of our district starting to use that. So as I was making additions, I think, to that website, I just started sharing those same things out on Twitter because I thought, heck, if I'm sharing them with my coworkers and I'm sharing them with other teachers in my district, then maybe other people out there beyond my district are also going to find that beneficial. So I started sharing out there, and then things kind of thing, you know, and so just, you know, I just really love sharing the great things that people are doing, you know. So that was really how I started, and then I got involved in EdChat, and I still help moderate EdChat on Tuesday evenings. So I got connected up with Tom and Steven Anderson and Shelley Terrell and all that team, and they invited me to start moderating. So I started jumping in these really outstanding educational conversations on Twitter with EdChat, and then I dove into blogging from there, and I do a little bit of that from time to time. And so, you know, and then kind of what it's evolved to a little bit for me. I still share lots of great things that I come across all the time. I just love sharing blog posts that I read, you know. I mean, just everybody from, you know, Steven to George Kuros to Pernell Rip or John, Ed Rethink. I totally blanked on John's last name. I feel horrible. I'm normally better with names than that. Spencer, thank Spencer, you. John, yeah. T. Spencer, thank you. So, and then kind of what it's become for me is not only do I get to share cool things teachers in my district are doing, but cool things teachers in other places are doing, but then, you know, kind of helping people connect those dots between with educational technology, because I think a really cool byproduct of being a connected educator is I've learned so much about so many other people and what their areas of expertise are. If I can't give someone the immediate help they need, the chances are pretty good I know who to point them to. So I have that in my Twitter profile. You know, I say I connect dots because I love connecting people together. Even if I'm not the one that can give that person an immediate answer, I know exactly who to connect them with. So I'll do, whether I do that via Twitter or via email, whatever, however I do that, that's very rewarding for me to get to do that for people too.
I love the I connect dots thing.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, it's all about, again, it's all about, it all goes back to, you know, you guys are very kind to, you know, it's, I always chuckle when people use the word guru to describe me. You know, I always chuckle at that. I'm flattered. And that's, I mean, and I, about that,
I think, but we took that straight from your profile.
No, yeah, right. Yeah, exactly. Let's see, adding that now. No. Yeah, but you know, it's all about you know recognizing and that I don't always have all the answers, and I think that's something that's a mindset we have to get more teachers in too. You know, especially when it comes to technology in the classroom and students having the web at their fingertips, you know, whether you're doing BYOD or one-to-one, it's moving to a mindset of I'm not the ultimate source of information anymore. I'm not the giver of all knowledge, you know, around the subject that I teach anymore. And so that's a hard change for some people. A lot of people get their cheese moved when with stuff like that sometimes, but so
let's say let's move on to something different. Say you're in a position to kind of impact massive policy change in education throughout the U.S. Is there any one thing that you think may need to be changed, or just is something that you don't like about education that you can? I'm just teeing one up on you. I think.
Yeah.
but you know, feel free to talk about anything you want.
Yeah. You know, gosh, I have a couple. I mean, it's easy to say more technology in kids' hands, but I think we have some major, major issues in our education system that need to, and it's not that we should just halt all technology initiatives. I'm not saying that at all. But we have a major problem with poverty in a lot of our schools still. That's huge. I mean, we still have, that's a major issue. When we have elementary school kids or any age kids that, when they go home on a Friday, they're not sure how much they're going to get to eat between then and over the week until Monday when they're back at school again, getting breakfast and lunch provided to them at school. I mean, that's a huge deal.
It's reality, yeah.
Absolutely. Another group that I think that we don't do enough for is our parents. I think that could look a lot of different. I usually look at that through the technology lens, of course, since that's my specialty area. But that's a group I don't think we do enough for in general. I think we have a responsibility to provide quality learning opportunities to parents and the people in our community too, because school districts have a huge impact on that, can have a huge impact on that in a community. So in terms of technology specifically, I definitely would say we don't do enough for parents, because there can be our hugest base of support, when it comes to implementing something like Google Apps for Education, Chromebooks, iPads, whatever. It doesn't matter what it is. So I would say those are the first couple things that stand out to me.
Cool. And no mention of standardized tests.
No. No mention of standardized tests. That is for sure. I'll leave that to another guest.
That was the previous guest. So.
Yeah, okay.
Now, if you could go back 5 to 10 years and give yourself a piece of advice, what would you want to tell yourself?
Oh, man.
Let's go 10 years, since you've been in your role 10 years. Yeah.
Relationships are everything. That is probably the number one piece of advice I would give myself 10 years ago. Relationships are everything. And that's something I take a lot of pride in my work. I mean, I can stand up in front of a group of teachers and I can teach them about X, Y, and Z for an entire day on whatever the technology topic is. But if you don't take the time to establish quality relationships with those people that you're working with, and just like how that's important, we do that with our kids in our classrooms. They need to know that we know them as a person and we care about what's happening in their lives, and we have to do the same. Same goes for adults too. I take a lot of pride in that in my job. But that's definitely something I would still go back and remind myself is don't take anything for granted and strong relationships are everything. And when I'm working with a group of teachers, I want them, I make sure they know that I'm a goofball too. I like to have fun just as much as the next person. And I'm a big kid. I'm the world's largest 12-year-old, so I try to let that show through a little bit sometimes. And but also let them, they know also when they leave me that they've got a direct line of support to me if they need it, and that I'm going to be there for them to help them and share in their celebrations when it works, and then also help them when it doesn't, because it's not going to all the time. You guys know how technology rolls. So, relationships are everything.
Now, speaking of relationships and thinking about others and what they think about you, if someone were to describe you in 3 words, what would be the 3 words that you would hope that they would use?
Oh, 3 words. Funny. Easy to talk to. That's more than one word, but we're going to call that good.
We'll call you easy. We'll just say easy. How about that?
And let's see, what else? Gosh, funny, easy to talk to. Not guru. Man, patient. I don't know. My kids would nix that last one for sure. You know, but.
That's funny. So what advice could you give teachers looking to incorporate more tech into their classrooms? If you got, like, you know, you're sitting down with someone for 5 minutes saying, hey, I want to do some more things with tech. I don't know a ton about it. What kind of advice are you going to give me?
So the first thing I'm going to ask you is, what's one thing that you want to do? What's one area where you want to be better as a teacher? What's something you want to be better at, whether in just your overall delivery or communication or increased collaboration, or it could be on a very specific topic that you teach?
So can we role play this here?
Sure.
I would like my students to be more guide their own learning.
Okay. So with what topic? What's a specific
With my next unit, coming up on space, I'm really kind of sick of teaching. I think they're sick of hearing me teach. What can I do to get them to learn more about the universe and galaxies than me sitting up there direct teaching in front of the classroom?
What kind of devices do your students use in class?
We do have a class set of Chromebooks.
Oh, sweet. Winning. So I'm going to point, so here's number, probably one of the first things I am going to encourage you to do, if you don't already have one, is create a strong digital presence for your classroom. That's one of because I think that's going to be one of the best ways for you to deliver, some of the great content that's out there, whether that, YouTube comes to mind. I mean, if just the sheer content that's out there on YouTube from so many awesome sources, but not only video content, but other types of multimedia content. And I'm going to help you find resources for that. I'm going to help you build just kind of a nice digital hub for your classroom, where you can bring all of those things together. So you can teach from it. You can teach from it during class, but then that puts that same information at your students' fingertips outside of class too, so they can interact with that information and share, and then give them a vehicle to share some of that, what they're learning as well, outside of face-to-face class time.
Yeah, definitely. Well, Mr. Pace, you're really good at this. You should do this for a career.
Maybe I should.
Now, we've talked a lot about what you've done and what you've been doing, but what's a major goal of yours for this coming year?
Oh, man. Major goal for me for this coming year. I can just think of so many things that I still have to learn. And I'm always striving, you know, just the topic of leadership in general has been something that I've been really passionate about for the last year or so. And, just making myself a better leader and, to the teachers in my district, and then to the people that follow me on Twitter, to the people I'm connected with, all the other places, I just want to strive and continue to be a great example for those people and just help them understand, help those people learn. And, so it's really just, I guess, kind of just keep on keeping on, more or less. I mean, it's not a huge goal, I guess, directly for myself, but I just want to help people move forward and get better at what they do. And I want to get better, I love, just like when I'm talking here with you guys, or last night, I was the guest on Texas EDU chat last night. And, I'm flattered and honored beyond words when I get invited to do things like this and last night and, speak at conferences and things. What people don't know is, but they may not know, I try to get across is that I love learning in those situations for myself. I try to do as much of learning for myself in those situations too. You know, I'm equally excited to learn. Just like last night's chat's a great example. There was so many good people in there on that chat last night. I mean, Texas has got it going on. They were on, most people were on fire last night. That chat was flying. I mean, just people sharing so many great ideas and things that they're doing. And it was like taking a drink out of a fire hose. It was a lot. You couldn't keep up with it, but, that kind of stuff is contagious. It's just exciting to be around passionate people like that. I'm fortunate I get to work with people like that every day, but then I'm also connected to, you know, folks like you guys every day too, that, that I can tap into. So I really want to, focus on my own learning a lot though, I'd say this year too, but, it'll end up probably I'm teaching more than I'm learning for myself a little bit, but that's okay. I still get to learn at the same time regardless.
Yeah. Todd and I were kind of having a little sidebar conversation yesterday just about being connected and just how there's just not a better time in the world to learn anything. I mean, you can go learn about anything from an expert basically instantly.
Yeah.
And if I want to learn something from, a top principal in the country, I just get on Twitter and I ask, you know,
yeah.
and more than likely that person's also going to respond because they are one of the top principals in the country and they are probably already connected in those kinds of things. So
that never ceases to amaze me.
It's
that
just so
crazy. And it's like we lived in a world where before the best connections you could build were those in districts around you. And now we've got people from all over the world we can learn from. I mean, it's like, why would you not take advantage of that?
Right. Yeah. Right. Why are we not harnessing this more? Why are we, I think we still treat it so much like it's the elephant in the room nobody wants to talk about. It's like it's back over here in the corner and, you know, it's – I think still too many school districts, they see the easy route of just we're going to shut that stuff off while they're here at school and let's go buy more textbooks. I mean, you know, just stuff like that. That's still happening way too much, so –
Yeah, going forward, connections are going to be everything. I mean, they're going to be the key to success in education and business. And I mean, it's just all going to be about. And it always, I guess, probably has been about network. You know, they always said it's not what you know, it's who you know. But
yeah,
it really has expanded exponentially over just the last 5 years with the advent of Twitter and all the other social media out there.
Yep.
Well, you know, one thing we always like to end on is kind of just allowing you to just really talk about what are you really passionate about right now?
Oh, man. You guys and your questions. Jeez. Yeah, Todd's messaging me this morning going, yeah, it's so informal. We're just going to talk.
Here we are role-playing.
What is this?
Hey, we took out the really tough questions, the ones that you said we were about to ask. So
we did take out the hard ones.
We got your writer. We sent you the green M&Ms. I mean, we did everything we could.
Delicious, by the way. Delicious. Square dish next time, not a round dish.
Done.
All right, that's Keegan's fault. He's new.
Okay. All right, Keegan, you're off the
hook. Sorry.
I'll go back to something I've already said, but it's parents. Parent voice and student voice, I would say two of the big things that I'm really passionate about in how we can really make things better in education right now. I don't think we tap into our students enough. I don't think we, I'm very fortunate in that I have a district that does that. I can think back to doing that 2 or 3 years ago to improve, you know, when we set out to make our online classes better that my district offers. We created, some student focus groups basically and asked those kids how do we make this better? And I don't think we do that enough in terms of school improvement. You know, just sitting kids down and say, hey, this is what sucks right now. This is what we need to make better. What are your ideas on how to make that better? And same goes for parents too. And just goes back to that education piece, you know, especially with parents, to give them that knowledge base they need to offer that kind of feedback. And I think it's great to see educational leaders that are willing to step out there and do that. Again, it's all about, you know, you recognizing the fact that you may not have, that you don't have all the answers, or you're not the number one source of information. And while the decision may ultimately come back to you, still being willing to do that and tap into those student and parent voices and teacher voices, of course, too. I think we probably get our teacher voices, you know, we do a fair job of collecting those, and but really those student and parents, I would say we've got to do more for them, and we've also got to tap into them more to make school better.
Yeah.
Great. Yeah, that's cool.
I would like to ask Todd a question. I know I'm probably breaking protocol here, so
that's okay.
So Todd's sweating. I can see the beads rolling down.
It's not in our Google Doc. I'm not prepared.
Todd, I want to congratulate you on being a White House Champion of Change. I just would like to congratulate you on that. I think that's absolutely an outstanding honor, and I got to watch all the tweets and your tweets especially about that, and I wanted to give you congratulations, but I would love to hear you don't have to do it right now, but I definitely would like to talk with you sometime about what that was like, and
I would love to.
I'm sure it was amazing, you know, you're rubbing shoulders with the prez, and so
I'll say it's one of those things that if I didn't have pictures, I wouldn't believe it was true.
Oh, isn't it? I bet it was totally one of those things, like it was just a whirlwind, and like then it's over, and you're like, did that really just happen? You know? And
thank God the White House recorded everything, because I can watch it and say, I really did say something to him. I really did touch him.
Yeah, that's cool. So I don't think I ever got to formally congratulate you. I may have done that on Twitter, but
I appreciate
it. So congrats again on that.
Thank you.
I don't think we've mentioned it on the podcast yet either, but Todd also was awarded TCEA Teacher of the Year. At the TCEA conference a couple weeks ago here in Austin, Texas, which is a massive honor as well, and well-deserved for sure.
Nice.
Well, thank you again. It's all very surreal, and
as Todd is a beat red right now.
Sorry, Todd.
I am. I'm trying not to. Yeah, but no, all credit goes to my kids and my PLN. So they're both the reason why I'm successful. My students are the best in the country. So easy to be recognized when you got great students. So
there you go.
Very cool. Go ahead, Keegan.
Thank you for coming on with us tonight, Kyle. It was a lot of fun, and it was great getting to talk to you.
Yeah, my pleasure, and it's awesome that you guys are having Keegan on board too. Again, to have that student voice just here in your show, and so that's cool to see. I'm sure Keegan, I know you got senioritis, but you probably got a lot of things going on too. So
yeah, I love being here. This is good. Fun.
Cool.
You can connect with us on Twitter at EduAllStarsHQ. You can use the hashtag #EduAllStars. You can check out the website, www.eduallstars.com, where you can check out the podcast or see what's going on. You can also download this episode and all the previous episodes on iTunes. Search EduAllStars with no spaces.
Yeah. And our next interview on March 3rd will be Miss Deanna Jump. If you're not familiar with that name, she's the top seller on Teachers Pay Teachers. She's only made a couple $1 million over the last 2 years on Teachers Pay Teachers. We'll be interviewing her at 7:30 Central. And then we're going to have a 2-week hiatus. And then Todd's going to travel to Michigan. And then Todd and I are both, we're going to have spring break, and so we're going to take a break that week and come back with, we're booked. I mean, we've got guests booked through when? April or something? I mean,
we are now into the second week of April. I booked two more this week, so.
Kudos to you guys. Well done.
Lots of good stuff coming up.
Yeah.
And if you've made it this far, we definitely encourage you to subscribe to us on iTunes. Leave us a rating. We always love reading those and getting some feedback, and it definitely helps with getting us some exposure on iTunes as well. Again, Kyle, thank you so much for coming on tonight. It was great chatting with you and getting to hear a little bit of your story. Really appreciate you taking the time out of your schedule to talk with us.
Awesome. My pleasure. My pleasure. And Todd, I'll see you in May.
Yes, sir.
All right.
Thanks, Kyle.
Thanks, guys.